Hey, I just want to say, as we begin this grand adventure, you're welcome in advance.
You're listening to the Backseat Sports Podcast with Zach Diodati and James Troiano.
Let's be honest, the bar is not real high right,
right
now.
Right.
Hey, that's quite a voice you've got there. You ever think about doing radio?
It sounds really cool.
No, it's not cool.
Can you bring a picture up?
Are you kidding me?
All foreigners love Chicago teams.
We do not have time for this kind of silliness.
A lot of booze, parties, women showing you the goods for beads. It doesn't get any better than that.
Smooth. Very, very smooth stuff. Very classy. I'm learning a lot from you right now, dude.
When I heard about this, I wanted to come up with some kind of articulate and thoughtful and, you know, well-debated response. This is just stupid.
Email us at backseatsports@gmail.com or hit us on Twitter at @BackseatZach or at @BackseatJack.
Ah, that is on Twitter at @BackseatZach and @BackseatJay. You're back in the Backseat Sports Podcast. The musical stylings of the Beastie Boys, rest in peace, of course, MCA. All right, James, we're over a month into baseball season, and you and Tom Genka, a master's in applied statistics.
Yeah, actually, congratulations to Tom. He actually graduates from his master's program on Tuesday.
How so about that?
Hats
congratulations
off Tom.
To Tom.
Yeah, he's in the big time now. He's in the big time.
We're in a month into the baseball season, and you know, you guys honestly made some good predictions of who was going to be sleeper and who was going to be a disappointment in each division. But so far, what's really been a surprise in terms of both disappointments and who's been a pleasant surprise?
You want to start with the disappointments?
I think I know where you're going to start.
Or do
with
you
that.
Want to end with the disappointments? All right, no, for real though. You know, I would say that just. The biggest disappointment has been the way that the Boston Red Sox have played so far.
Yeah, no,
they were supposed to be an above average team competing for a playoff spot. They've actually turned into the biggest mess in baseball, and it only took a month. I mean, this team, the easy answer that you would expect me to say would be the Phillies.
No, but I wouldn't even agree with that.
But the thing about the Phillies are they're not like tripping over themselves.
Right.
They're just not very good. They don't have good players.
No, they're just
right
losing
now.
Baseball games. They're not.
They're losing games because they don't have the ammunition to win baseball games.
Right.
The Boston Red Sox, I don't know if their pitching is enough to win games because their pitching's awful, but that lineup is old, but it can still hit. And they're just losing. They're losing games all kinds of ways. Like, they're today.
I know you're disappointed with Charlie Manuel and the way that he's been managing, but he's not like out there saying stupid things like Bobby Valentine
has
been.
Well, here's the thing about Bobby V. All right, and this is what I've been saying. None of this is Bobby V's fault. Mm-hmm. Bobby V doesn't throw, hit, or catch, and the Boston Red Sox players should
neither do the Red Sox.
The Reds. Oh, you need to get a soundbite for that.
I will do that.
But look, the thing about Boston is that the player should be embarrassed. If you are a veteran all-star player, and Boston has plenty of those guys, how do you not have more self-respect for yourself and your teammates? Instead of making Bobby Valentine step in front of the mic every time and try to make excuses, why don't you get in front of the microphone and make an excuse? Don't make an excuse.
Right.
Hold yourself accountable, or make an excuse if you want to, but be available. There's reports that they're leaving the clubhouse early, not talking to reporters. They're not accessible. So it leaves Bobby V, who is always going to be accessible to reporters. We know Bobby V. He likes to say stuff.
Yeah.
He might say some stuff, and he's not an ESPN analyst anymore, so he shouldn't say things like, Kevin Youkilis doesn't look like he's given 100%.
Right, because that's what an analyst says.
Well, that's what you would say if you're an analyst. But right. So I think that first of all, that whole thing, I think he needs to be forgiven because he's still – He's making the transition now, and this has been tough for him. They kind of gave him they didn't give him a lot to work with. They basically said, Bobby, half of us want you, half of us don't. This is the team you're going to get, and these are the plans that we had. Things like moving Daniel Bard to the rotation, those aren't things that smart baseball people are saying – should be happening, and they're happening in Boston.
When you don't make your, you said the players are leaving the stadium early, the clubhouse early, they're not making themselves accessible to reporters. Listen, when you don't make yourself accessible to reporters, especially in a baseball market like Boston, you leave early, the reporter, it's a chain reaction. The reporter doesn't get a time with you, then they write meaner and more critical things about you, then it leads to unrest among the clubhouse, and you don't get along as well as a team because you're getting all this criticism from the outside. You're bound to not get along as well when you're being criticized like that, and it's a domino effect that will actually affect the way that you play on the field because you decided that you had to leave early and not face the music.
Look, this in my opinion is a holdover from last season when they had that meltdown and you didn't hear anything from any of the players. You didn't hear a word about being accountable for that. And you heard some things this year about last year from some players that aren't on the Red Sox anymore, like Jonathan Papelbon.
Right.
After he came over to the Phillies, he spoke to the Philadelphia media about what might have happened last year in Boston, but nobody said anything in Boston, and they still are not saying anything.
One of the things that makes them such a disappointment is that at the organization, at the end of last year, they acted like they were making changes that were going to be so positive. You know, we got rid of Terry Francona because it wasn't working out. We hired Bobby Valentine. So when you make that kind of move, again, in a market, a baseball market like Boston, and you act like it's going to be a move of such improvement, that makes them even more disappointing.
Can I look? This is not going to be popular with anybody that's a Boston fan, but I think it's time that we just call the Red Sox what they are. And that's just
a flash in the pan.
It's not, they're not the only reason why Boston is important is because they have, the perception is that they have made themselves, is that they are like this, what's the proper word here?
Like they were like a self-made champion.
Basically that the Yankees actually are that entity. They're an important entity. They're actually successful on the field and off the field in the way that they do their business dealings. Mm-hmm. That's why when they make a mistake on a guy like Chris Brown, the pitcher, or an Alex Rodriguez.
Because the Yankees didn't make a mistake on the singer, Chris Brown, right?
No. And or
I heard Chris Brown can really hit.
or sign a guy like A-Rod. They do enough good business and they make enough money that they can survive that. What you're seeing now with Boston is these bad contracts have come home to roost. Carl Crawford, what's his face? John Lackey.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Think about this.
Yeah. No.
Those guys are not playing and they're getting paid tons of money. And Boston doesn't have the structure in place to replace these guys. So they're starting Cody Ross, Darnell McDonald, Ryan Sweeney. Who are these players? You're not going to win ball games with this. Bobby Valentine cannot make Ryan Sweeney a 300 hitter. Okay. Or I don't know if he hits 250.
Well,
when
you said they put out this perception that they are, look, everything changed when they made that comeback, and everyone enjoyed that comeback in 2004 when they came back on the Yankees in the ALCS. But I think that I saw an Onion article like that year, that winter, that said it said it so well, because the Red Sox finally got as rich as the Yankees. In the late 90s and early 2000s, the Red Sox finally, not as rich as the Yankees, but they got big money.
Right.
And the way baseball works, you just have to have it. And so the Onion said something like, the Red Sox used a $260 million payroll to overcome all the odds and beat the Yankees in the ALCS. I mean, that's a great point. I mean, it's not like they were any different.
No.
Just because they had facial hair didn't mean they weren't just like the Yankees.
And,
you know?
And honestly, I think that they are still paying that team money. And they're just, they're not the Yankees. They're not, they decided that they were going to spend as much money to compete with the Yankees without generating the kind of income that the Yankees are generating.
Right.
And it's, because it's different. Like, I follow the Phillies and I've watched them rise from a mid-market spending, revenue generating team in a big city to finally fulfilling that potential and
a team that
maximizing the revenue that they could maximize by growing from the inside out.
The Phillies have become an organization that acts like they're in a top 10 market, that acts like they're in like a big city
team.
They
only do that because they are generating the revenue to spend like that.
Right.
The reason why they can spend this money is because they've had sellout strings. The TV contract they're about to sign is about to be huge.
Mm-hmm.
The Red Sox just decided they were just going to spend this money, whether they have it or not. And now they have a lot of bad contracts, and they just make these questionable decisions, like trade for Andrew Bailey, who they had to know was injury prone. And it's not a coincidence that that guy hasn't pitched in a regular season game yet because he's hurt already.
So what you're saying is, I guess the Red Sox are kind of making a facade basically of themselves. They think they're champions. They think they're a pedigree team, but in fact, to the rest of the league and all the other fans,
we can see through it.
Exactly.
That's exactly the point I'm trying to make.
And I understand that. I've understood for the entire time you've been talking about it because, that sounds like a team. I know. What are they called? The Toronto Maple Leafs.
And even if you're not into hockey, the situation that Toronto hockey fans have been put in can be something any sports fan can understand.
We literally, and this is very, a lot of people know this. I associate myself with Toronto. We understand. Toronto calls themselves and mark themselves the center of the hockey universe.
Mm-hmm.
That is what they say, right? But Montreal, it can be like the New York Yankees, right? Mm-hmm. Not too far from Toronto.
Right.
Montreal is way bigger as far as like what they've done and what they've accomplished. They've won twice as many championships as Toronto has, but Toronto's like, we are Toronto. We're the Toronto Maple Leafs. Hello. Yeah, but you know what? We suck.
I think you might agree with this comparison. I'm sure, Tully, you've heard John Wooden, the legendary basketball coach, mm-hmm. won like 11 straight Final Fours with UCLA like mm-hmm. in the 60s. That's what Toronto markets themselves as would be the same as UCLA these days saying that we are the center of the college basketball universe.
We're like Duke. Because, we're like NC.
Right, even though they haven't won a title in a long time, mm-hmm. They were a 60s... dynasty,
right.
And the Maple Leafs were a 40s, 50s, and 60s dynasty.
Yeah.
And so, people in Toronto don't want to hear that anymore.
No.
But
no, things, especially this year, things are, James, are getting really unsettling.
I think that they're... this is different. And here's why. Toronto, maybe their internal image is like that, but the fans and the people outside the team can look at that team and say, nah. Not getting it done.
Whereas you're saying Boston Red Sox fans don't.
Boston Red Sox fans
don't get it.
Yeah, exactly. and I would liken them to like the Dallas Cowboys.
Yes.
Because their fans have no clue. Like everything that they do is great.
Tony Romo is the best quarterback in the league.
Best quarterback ever. Yeah. Jerry Jones, great decisions all the time. Trade two picks to get one player.
Best draft every year.
Just do it. Right now. Sign a cornerback in the offseason for a lot of money. Then draft a cornerback. All right.
It's almost like, what is it, the Jets? The fans, they always go to like the draft pick?
Well, that's because it's in New York, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But I mean, still, it's almost the same way. Where are those guys?
If you ask a Boston Red Sox fan about the Boston Red Sox,
they'll say, we're going to turn it around.
We're not playing good.
We're having a bad spring, but we're going to turn it around.
You're not playing good or you're not good. Okay, those are two different things.
All right, who has been the more pleasant surprise team-wise, the Nationals or the Orioles? The Beltway,
all right,
altogether.
Yeah, look, if you live around the D.C. Baltimore area, you're loving life right now, okay? Because you thought you were going to stink, and you're not stinking.
The Capitals are in the second round of the NHL playoffs. The Orioles and the Nationals are both good. Robert Griffin III just came to town.
He's coming to town, and...
It's a good time to be a DC sports fan.
And look, the other obvious disappointment is Albert Pujols. Okay.
Yes.
And let me just say that. We don't have to go into a lot of detail about this. He hit his first home run today. So yeah, round of applause for Albert. Okay.
How much did that cost him?
Look, Albert's one of those guys.
Let's do the math on that one.
Albert's one of those guys where I don't like he signed the big money deal and like I like Albert. Like he's easy to root for. So
yes.
And it was really funny. I was watching the game because Albert Pujols is my first baseman in fantasy, and I was like praying. I'm sitting there with my brother and I'm literally going, what if he could just hit a bomb right now? He hits a bomb, he goes to the dugout, all the guys left the bench and they went in their room. So you saw him like trot off and he looks around, he like walks in the tunnel and then all the guys come out. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, well, but apparently if but you a team would only do that to a guy who knows he's got a sense of humor about himself.
He's got a sense of humor, and look, you know he's going to come around.
Like, no one would do that to a Carlos Zambrano type of player, because he'd have a meltdown.
No.
But Albert Pujols has been disappointed, but for all we know, maybe he'll just have a fantastic June and July. That's possible.
Well, I think that's what he's in for. And I called him the MVP before the season. Now, look. Don't laugh at this.
Right.
He still could turn into the MVP
because
it's more about what you do at the end of the season, not the beginning with the MVP.
It is. All right, listen. If the National League playoff started today, it would be the Dodgers, Cardinals, and Nationals as division winners. And it looks like the Mets and Braves would be the two wild cards. Out of those five teams, who is most likely not going to be in that position at the end of the year?
The Mets?
Yeah.
And
well, the Mets is about all you have to say.
I would say the Mets would be replaced with the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Okay.
And that's about it. I mean, I don't see the Phillies getting into the playoffs at this point.
Okay.
I don't think that they're going to get enough this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's going to be kind of a soul searching year and then off season where they kind of have to learn some hard truths. Like some of these guys are getting older and they're not coming back. And I think the front office is a little bit, they're having trouble. It's like groupthink. You know, when you're talking to the same guys and you're like, yeah, this guy's pretty good. And this guy's like, yeah, he's pretty good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they're all like, yeah, he's pretty good. But everyone on the outside is like, yeah, this guy's not good anymore.
Yeah.
They got that problem in Philly, yeah. I think, in the front office. Look, if the Braves can hit like this all year, their pitching is a little bad.
Yeah,
at times.
The pitching's spotty. Like
Jekyll
one,
and Hyde.
Like, yes.
Wouldn't you say that?
One day Brandon Beachy will throw a one-hitter, and then like the next day Tim Hudson will be like kind of all over the place. And
that's
probably going to be that way.
Nothing personifies the Atlanta pitching situation more than Tommy Hanson. It's either seven shutouts or he's out by the fourth inning and he can't get anybody out.
He'll never have a six inning, three hit, one run game.
Yeah, exactly. You know? He's not like a workhorse.
Yeah.
You know, like, Atlanta doesn't have any of those guys.
Well, he's a ginger. He doesn't have a soul. In the AL.
But I like Atlanta for that last spot. I think it's going to be like Chipper Jones.
They got to stay healthy though.
Last farewell. And I mean, I don't think the Braves in past years had the hitting to get there. I think that they actually have the hitting this year. I'm concerned about the pitching staff and
it's
if it's
going to
let them down or not.
Yeah.
You know, it's a long season.
If they can go get, not like an ace, but if they can go get like a guy that like will win more than he loses.
Here's a guy that I think Atlanta needs to look at. Wandy Rodriguez from the Houston Astros.
Yeah, I like him.
He's just like an innings eater. You know how they had Derek Lowe for a couple years?
Yeah.
And like maybe a couple years too long?
Yes.
Okay. But he was a guy that you could throw out there, and like if guys are tired in the middle of the season, your bullpen's tired,
mm-hmm.
Derek Lowe's like, I don't care. If I give up seven, I'll go eight innings. Like it doesn't matter. I do not care. They need a guy like that. And Wandy is a guy like that.
Yeah, like the only thing that could make Derek Lowe tired was the end of the eighth and not like the seven runs he just gave up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like you
In the AL, if the playoffs started today, it's the Rangers winning the West. It's the Indians winning the Central.
This is the Philly season. I just get a score center update.
1-0
Washington. Bryce Harper steals home. What are you doing? What are you doing?
He's 19 years old.
Yeah, what are you doing? I want to see that play. Like, what was going on there?
Bryce Harper steals home.
That's the score center update. Bryce Harper steals home.
All right, if the AL playoffs started today, Rangers and Indians win the West and the Central. Tully, I don't know if you noticed, but the AL East is good.
Yeah, and
there are good baseball teams.
Hey, look, I predicted Toronto's
third,
good.
Right where I left them, third place.
No. But check this out. Yankees, Red Sox, bottom of the AL East. The Blue Jays and Rays would be the wild card teams, and the Orioles would win the division. Now, same question. Who's most likely to not be there by the end of the year? Orioles, Rays, Jays, Indians, Rangers.
All right,
Indians.
It's hard to say the Indians can maintain this.
Because Detroit's right behind them.
But I think they can.
Okay.
I think that they
Derek
can.
Lowe eats up innings.
they have some solid pitching this year. And what actually killed them last year was sustaining the success that they had early season. I think they can do it, but I think that they're more on the wild card, like grouped in with some of those guys. I think Detroit is going to win that division. I mean,
Yeah,
the odds have got to go.
You got to be worried Detroit's going to turn it on and win like 15-20.
Miguel Cabrera, Prince Fielder, these guys aren't warm yet. When they get hot, they're going to start hitting the baseball.
I'd have a hard time believing though that not at least one wild card team has got to come out of the AL East.
No,
that's good baseball in that division.
Tampa Bay, the Yankees, the Blue Jays.
Well, I texted you over the week. I was like, the Orioles have the Blue Jays number so far.
Your guess is as good as mine there. My gut tells me that the Rays and the Yankees will once again be there as a combination of the wild card division winner. Mm-hmm. Although I will say this, if Toronto mans up and can go get somebody like Wandy Rodriguez, who I just talked about from the Phillies, and can shore up that pitching staff.
Astros.
Toronto throws some guys out there on the mound that you are just like, how are you going to win the division with this guy?
Right.
If they can get some established guys that can eat some innings, some professional pitchers, because that's another ballpark that's not fun to pitch in. Mm-hmm. And well, actually, we didn't talk about that on the air. We talked about that off the air, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not a fun ballpark to pitch in. It's hard.
Like we said, Coors Field is every pitcher's nightmare.
Right. But they got a good lineup, and they can compete with the best teams. They just don't have the pitching to do it right now.
I think it would be great to see Toronto in the playoffs again. Tully, people would be there. And you'd have your Canadian flags waving again. And honestly, like, it wouldn't be just good for baseball in Canada again. When Canadians start waving their Canadian flags, whoever they're playing in the playoffs – is like people are going to start being like, oh, well, let's get some American flags when this series comes back home. I mean, like, it's good for it really is. It's good for like sports fans when like something like that takes place around a playoff series. Mm-hmm. We're going to jump into the NBA playoffs next segment. This has been I don't know if you want to use the word top heavy, but this has been a NBA playoffs that has only been competitive in a few spots so far. That's next on the Backseat Sports Podcast.
You're listening to the Backseat Sports Podcast with Zach Diodati and James Troiano. Email us at backseatsports@gmail.com or hit us on Twitter at @BackseatZach or at @BackseatJ.
You are back in the back seat. That is on Twitter at @BackseatZach, Z-A-C. And James, I've been meaning to tell him this. Your Twitter handle is at James Troiano.
Oh, yeah. All right. Look,
they need to know that.
I've been meaning to say that for the past like six podcasts. Because it's been that way for a long time. And I just have not said anything.
Our wonderful imaging girl, Taylor, is a really, really busy person. We're going to get her on top of that.
Yeah, that'd be strange.
But she's super sweet, and she's going to get on that. Because it doesn't sound as cute if you, me, or Adam does the intro. So
no.
We're gonna fix that.
Yeah.
The NBA playoffs. James, you were at game one of the Hawks and Celtics, and things look great from an Atlanta standpoint. And since then, look, dude, the Celtics are veterans. The Hawks aren't. It shows.
The Hawks are veterans now. Like, this is not a young team anymore. This is just not excusable.
Well, you know what? You're right. Let me put it this way. The Celtics have done good things, and it shows. The Celtics know how to win.
I'm a loss for words. because here's why. What if you go to the playoffs for four straight years,
right?
Do you not learn how to win in the playoffs? What is the matter what is in the mindset of these
only
Hawks
team that they've
players?
Beaten in that span is the Magic last year. They beat the Magic.
And the Bucks.
I'm sorry, you're right. Yeah.
They lost in the first round, and then they had a couple nice years. Yeah. Well, what is it? Yeah, this is the fourth year.
Yeah, they beat the Bucks and they beat the Magic, and then they lost last year to Bulls. And they gave the Bulls an okay fight.
I guess this is the fifth year, because remember we had the Heat series.
It is. They beat the Heat
LeBron,
when Wade was like by himself. You know, Wade was like by himself on that team.
Yeah, look.
And so,
side note, all these LeBron haters. All right, when Dwayne Wade had that team by himself, that crap was garbage. Okay, you put LeBron on a team of garbage, it's called Cleveland Cavaliers. That they're in the finals. Okay, look. Okay, he's the man down there.
Yeah,
all right,
he is.
Let me
he's
just
awesome.
Say that. All right, back to the Hawks. Okay, this team, they don't have an identity, and that's the problem.
You are correct.
And I think that it stems from the way that this team was put together. It was
two threes and fours.
It was a bunch of guys that the Hawks did what teams like the Bobcats and the Portland Trailblazers tried this. stink for so many years. Oklahoma did a nice job of this.
Yeah, they did it right.
Stink for so many years, and you'll have so many high draft picks that eventually you'll build a nice young team, a nice young affordable team. Okay. The problem is the Hawks did it, but they kind of half-assed it.
Yes.
They try to do it
well, with Mike Bibby.
They messed up because they one of those guys, one of the pillars was Marvin Michael Jordan Williams, and that's a problem.
I know how you feel about
but
Marvin.
This team now is not this is not a young team anymore. A couple years ago, when you thought of the Hawks, you thought of, wow, they're a nice, young, fast team. They don't really have an identity, but they can run, and they're athletic,
and
so they can beat teams.
And the future looks good.
But now, if you still don't have an identity, and you're Joe Johnson, Josh Schmidt, yeah. Marvin Williams, even Jeff Teague now, he's been in the league a couple years, you're still not running an offense that you can identify. This is how we're going to attack teams. And teams can... I bet you when Doc Rivers, for this series, sat down... with his players, and they said, all right, we got the Hawks for maybe 7 games.
Right.
Here's what they do. Crickets. Because nobody knows what they're going to do any night.
Look, the Hawks are a team in the regular season that can beat anybody and look good doing it or lose to anybody.
Exactly.
And they can blow anybody out, and they can get blown out. Now, I was at a game against the Bulls in January. Season was still young, and they shot like 10 for 10 from three in the first half. Okay, look, if you're a team that just throws up shots every once in a while, 10 for 10 from the arc is going to happen.
But
that's not a strategy.
The problem since that first game has been they have just gone through spells, and we used to call it Woody Ball. But yeah. Mike Woodson's not the coach anymore. So I don't know what to call it now.
It's Drew
and
Ball.
Basically, it's just a player deciding that he is going to use the 24-second shot clock as his personal stage, and he holds the ball for the whole time and then throws something up.
It's kind of like when you just shoot hoops in the gym. Like, if you make the shot, you're supposed to get the ball again, and then if you miss it, you're supposed to give it to another guy.
Yeah.
That's just what they do. Like, they go, if Joe makes 2 consecutive shots, he gets to take another one. And if he misses, then Josh Smith gets to take the next one.
Yeah, if I had to guess, I would imagine that the timeouts before they call play is actually it's a rock, paper, scissors, best of 5 to see who gets the ball this play. Because nobody else is getting the ball. They don't move it around. Oh, so one person touches the ball and they shoot. And Boston's gonna lock that down. And that's just what they're doing. So this series is over.
A couple weeks ago, we talked with Nubias Wilborn from 1100 The Game. He gave us a lot of good input previewing the playoffs. Now, I asked him, the Thunder are a young team, and they're a good young team. And I asked him, you know, do you think being young and being fresh is helping with this compressed schedule that everyone said was going to be injury prone, and it proved to be for Chicago? A terrible situation there. You might want to jump on the Sixers bandwagon being a Philly guy. With this Sixers-Bulls series.
The Sixers-Bulls series is so uninteresting to me that I just, like...
You don't care.
I was watching it earlier, mm-hmm. and I actually started doing work, like my job from home. I was like, that's what I would rather do than watch the Sixers play basketball right now.
The Thunder looks so good. I right now, and not only do I think it will happen, I want to see it. I think we're going to get a stormy finals, Thunder and Heat. All right, I think it's going to be Oklahoma City.
Can we get a cricket sound effect, please?
But really, Oklahoma City is a good team, and they've even kicked it up a notch, and they knocked out the defending champions. They swept them out, swept the Mavericks.
Yeah, but
Oklahoma
all right,
City,
all
right. That would just sound weird to say.
Well, that's the thing. Have they
won anything?
No, but see, they've never had a pro sports team, and so that they have such a great home court advantage. That crowd is great because.
Yeah.
They've never had anything right, else exactly. before, wow. so it is. Did something just happen to the Phillies? What's that face over there?
I'm just...
Did Bryce Harper steal home again? Did Jason Worth steal home?
It's only a matter of time.
All right, like I mean, honestly, the Lakers. I just don't. They're not. I don't think they're finals material this time. The Clippers need to work on their free throws because, good God,
there's going
to
be some really good second round series because there's the OKC looks good, but mm-hmm. let's keep in mind Dallas was an 8th seed for a reason.
A seven. Oklahoma City was the 2, but yes, they were
seven,
lower.
Yeah, I'm
they
sorry,
were lower.
Seven. A seven.
They couldn't re-sign Tyson Chandler and Barea. So yeah, they were missing a few spots.
LA looks good, and So does San Antonio.
All right, you know who else looks good from LA? The Kings. Tully, are they on cruise control?
Well, they've won what? What did you say it was the last?
They've won eight of nine playoff games.
They swept
the Blues.
And yeah,
and not only that, they're the eight seed and they won 8 of 9 against the 1 and 2.
Yeah, I didn't even know that today, that they're the first team in NHL history to win against the number 1 and number 2 seeds. I didn't know that.
It's so frustrating, but it is what it is. It doesn't matter where you're seated at. If you run into a hot team, it does not matter if they're the eight.
Yeah.
If you run into a hot, and the Kings got hot, and they're in the semifinals now, and they're one of those teams we talked about, it's new blood. It's either going to be them, Nashville, or Phoenix, and right now it looks like Phoenix. But Phoenix and L.A. now, you know, we all get to stay up late for those games.
Yeah.
But if it's going to be Phoenix, Nashville, or L.A. in the finals, someone has got a chance to, you know, lift their first cup. So,
yeah, I mean, I said last week that the, you know, Whoever wins that series, the St. Louis LA, which is obviously was now LA, is going to be the one in the finals. So regardless of who wins the Pittsburgh,
and right now that looks like a safe prediction.
Yeah, and it would be really good because they play a similar style to the Rangers, and I don't really want the Rangers to be in the finals, but that would be a real good
Rangers
matchup.
Caps in
LA.
Can the Caps do this?
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, they're roughing the series.
Well, it's 2-2. It's 2-2 after yesterday. But
by the way, can I say something?
Yes, you can say something on this podcast.
They had a 12:30 start yesterday.
Yeah.
Who the hell? I'm an avid hockey fan. And you know what I was doing? Oh, just, you know, errands because it's Saturday and I'm a normal guy and I do things on Saturday
afternoon. Bed Bath & Beyond. I don't know if we'll have enough time.
Exactly. Who's going to watch that?
Bro. People on the West Coast want to watch their hockey while they eat Cheerios.
Seriously. Yeah. You know what? I didn't even think about that.
All right, bro. So
12:30.
Well, listen, if you're a college football fan, the Outback Bowl kicks off every New Year's Day at 11 a.m. New Year's Day, 8 a.m. West Coast.
Zach just broke something in the studio.
That's the only people that get to watch that, no matter how good the matchup is the fans of those teams.
I was just like,
we got Hottie and Naughty coming up next in the Backseat Sports Podcast.
You're listening to the Backseat Sports Podcast with Zach Diodati and James Troiano. Email us at backseatsports@gmail.com or hit us on Twitter at backseatzach or at backseatjay.
That is on Twitter at backseatzach, Z-A-C, and backseat... James Troiano. That's what we said. It's at James Troiano.
What's the matter with you?
His name is spelled James, like James Troiano. T-R-O-I-A-N-O.
Thank you.
All right. This is Hottie and Naughty. Who had a good week? Who had a bad week? James. Jared Weaver had a good week because he threw a no-hitter on Wednesday night.
Yeah, his only blemish was that he walked a guy.
Yeah, that's the only thing standing in between him and a perfect game, which is the case with most no-hitters.
Do you remember the no-hitter last year that Francisco Lariano threw? He walked like 13 batters. That should not count. He like walked in runs.
You
he was like, I'm getting a damn no-hitter. And he's just like, he's like, I can't get this guy out. He just throws the ball in the dirt. Next guy.
Just hits the guy.
The catcher was like, right here in the dirt.
It was like the only no-hitter I've ever seen that was like 5-6.
Well, if you could clone Jeff Francoeur 9 times, then that would have never been a problem because he swings at everything out of the zone. So
yeah.
That would have worked out. We have
a little shot at Jeff Francoeur for some reason.
Hope he's not listening.
I guess, what did Jeff do to you today?
He just struck out a lot. You like to take shots at Royals also. You took a shot at Melky Cabrera in our baseball.
Melky Cabrera.
And who's that one Patriots guy you don't like?
Patriots player I don't like. I don't know. I don't know.
I don't like Brandon Jacobs.
That's it.
Oh, no, that's a Giants player.
No, yeah. not anymore. Now
is he a Patriot
He's on
now?
The San Francisco 49ers.
Oh.
Fat Brandon Jacobs. We have another Naughty.
FBJ.
We have our first Naughty. Now, this is obvious. Amari Stoudemire got mad after game one, I believe, against the Heat, in which the Knicks lost down in South Beach. Went into the lower levels of the arena down there in Miami, outside the locker room, punched a fire extinguisher container, lacerated the hell out of his hand.
It was after game two.
Yeah, well, that's dumb. Because he cut up his hand and couldn't play. Because he punched a fire extinguisher.
He played today.
Yeah.
And he was surprisingly effective.
Yeah.
Now,
did he have a bandage all over his hand?
This doesn't speak volumes about Amari Stoudemire's like temper or IQ. Because, like, if you're so mad that you punch glass and cut your hand up so you can't play, so you hurt your team's of winning the next game.
You can't fix what you were just mad about.
And you also can't do anything about it. So
We got a hottie, the Mets. Look, just in line with what we're doing here,
the Mets.
Hold on, the Mets are not a hottie for baseball reasons, of course, right? The Mets are a hottie because on Friday, was it Friday or Thursday, Tully, that MCA passed away?
Friday.
You know, the Mets are obviously they have a connection with people who are real big Beastie Boys fans because you know they're the Beastie Boys, I believe, are from Brooklyn, and and the Mets play in Queens. All the Mets players played Beastie Boy songs as their walk-up songs
bat.
And that's really cool. I love that, and I wish that hopefully maybe we'll see that like again sometime with you know like another team if it fits in that community. Yeah. Our next naughty is now this is a scary one. This comes from Poland. Okay, this is from the Huffington Post.
Boring.
The Huffy.
Evidently, one Marek Olszewski went to see his ex-girlfriend Anna Makowiak, a 34-year-old dentist in Wrocław, to be treated for a toothache. Makowiak allegedly showed Olszewski into her facility, locked the door behind them, she's a dentist, heavily sedated him, and according to remarks given to the Austrian Times, I tried to be professional and detach myself from my emotions, but when I saw him lying there, I just thought, what a bastard, and decided to take all his teeth out. Took all his teeth out, which she did one by one prior to wrapping Makowiak's head and jaw tightly in gauze, waking him from his stupor and telling him there had been a slight complication and he'd need to see a specialist.
Oopsie. Slight complication. Whoopsie.
You're having smoothies. I got
Hey, I got a little angry and there was a little complication. I pulled all your teeth out.
Yeah.
While you were asleep, let me catch you up on a few activities.
I did it by mistake. I didn't think about it after the first 17 and then I just kept going. What a crazy broad.
Hey, bro, there was a slight change in my mood, and I ended up pulling our teeth.
Gentlemen, don't ask your ex-girlfriend's favor on anything. On anything.
The first thing I thought was not she's crazy was the guy's an idiot. Why would you go?
But you know what kills me is this was just an ex-girlfriend. It wasn't like this wasn't a divorce. Like, this was just an ex-girlfriend.
What did he do?
Chicks, man.
Like, what did he do?
Hey, they play for keeps in Poland.
I want to know what level of crazy this lady was at.
Because you mentioned that she locked the door. When did he figure out that things were going south? When she slammed the door locked?
How it is when you got a toothache? You can't focus on anything else.
Have you ever been under anesthesia?
No.
You're not awake, dude. Like, you don't know what's going on.
I'm just saying, like, the story I read in my mind, he walks in, and she walks in behind him, just slams the door shut,
apparently he didn't. Apparently he wasn't scared enough to run the hell out of there.
Yeah. Or let her put the mask on and be like, you're going to go to sleep now. He's like, it's cool.
For a toothache? Yeah, there's a procedure.
Our last hottie is Albert Pujols. Yay!
Yay, you hit a bomb today. Woo!
What is today, May 6th? Hey, Albert, the season started on April 8th, I think. First home run of the year. What's the contract? $218 million, something like that? $250? Yeah. I don't know. A lot of money. Finally hit a home run. Good for Albert. We just said earlier we really like him, but Albert, you should have hit a home run in the first series.
If someone will pay it to you, take it, you know? If someone will pay you, take it.
That's America. Last naughty of the week. Tully, what is Radulov's first name? More Eastern European naughties here.
Why?
Probably just Alexander.
Alexander Radulov and Sergei Kostitsyn, members of the Nashville. Is it Andre Kostitsyn? A couple Russian players.
This is following under the Who Cares tab.
A couple Russian players for the Nashville Predators before Game 3, I believe, or Game 2.
It was after Game 2.
After Game 2, they spent way too much time out in Glendale drinking and stayed up way too late and really weren't in the shape to participate in the next game, or at least that's what their coach thought.
No, they did play. I think it was after Game 1, and they played in the next game.
Yeah.
But they didn't find out about it, the coaching staff, until...
Hey, you know, you just can't get in the corner and get on those boards and finish your checks when you got a hangover.
What are these guys? If these guys are partying in Glendale, like what do they do?
I've never been there, but apparently
Glendale is like really.
No, yeah.
No, what athletes live out there?
Listen, I told Tully, the girls in Arizona don't look like the girls in St. Petersburg.
Probably.
Russia.
I bet there's some
The girls in Arizona don't look like the girls in Russia, so they gave in to their temptations.
Hey, actually. The Preds took it and rallied, and they won the next game. So
well,
it was a good move. I supported the Trots.
Why? This was not a relevant naughty story. This
look,
stupid.
When you're dumb,
two
you're
guys
a
went,
athlete.
Two guys went out to the club.
Hey, it was Tully's suggestion.
What? Really? Yeah. Was it?
That was haughty and naughty. We've enjoyed playing all the Beastie Boys tracks here. Again, rest in peace, MCA.
R.I.P.
Yeah. That was Haughty and Naughty. I'm Zach Diodati. James Troiano, Adam Tully, whether you listen on iTunes or RadioExiles.com, thank you for listening. We'll see you next week. Steppers at the party.